Conclusion and the Order's decision to depose Supreme Chancellor Palpatine had taken nearly everyone by surprise. But Tarkin suspected that even if the Jedi had restrained themselves from rising against Palpatine in his moment of glory, the esoteric Order had doomed itself to extinction. Where their flame had burned bright for 1,000 generations, technological might was the new standard. Tarkin had never been able to make sense of the Clone Wars in any case. A battle on Geonosis, an army of clones springing up out of nowhere. Almost from the beginning he had suspected that an elite outsider, or a group of elite outsiders, had been tampering with or manipulating events. That the battles had been waged in support of a surreptitious agenda. In the meandering pre-war conversations Tarkin had had with Count Dooku, the former Jedi had never made a convincing case for separatism, much less for galactic war. If, as some claimed, Dooku had never actually left the Jedi Order, why then hadn't the Jedi thrown in with the Separatists from the start? In their final meeting, only weeks before the Battle of Geonosis and the official outbreak of the Clone Wars, Dooku had tried to persuade Tarkin to bring Iriadu into the Confederacy of Independent Systems. By then, Tarkin's homeworld had transformed itself into a major trade center along the Hydean Way. With the Trade Federation monopoly on Outer Rim shipping broken as a result of the Naboo crisis, and the loss of prestige suffered by Valorum shipping as the result of scandals and Finis Valorum's truncated term as Supreme Chancellor, Iriadu mining and shipping was prospering beyond the wildest dreams of the Tarkin family. Tarkin himself was just completing his second term as planetary governor and was being urged by many to run for a seat in the Republic Senate, even while many of his Academy friends, convinced that a war between the Republic and the Separatists was inevitable, were urging him to leave himself open to the possibility that the Military Creation Act could be pushed through the Senate and a Republic Navy instated. Count Dooku of Sereno had been most responsible for bringing the galaxy's disenfranchised worlds under one umbrella. Tarkin had never known him when he had been one of the Jedi Order's most dashing duelists, but they had met shortly after the Count's quiet disaffiliation, introduced to each other on Coruscant by a Corriva senator, Pasl Arshente, who would himself go on to become a member of the Separatist leadership. Tarkin was intrigued by the tall, charismatic Count, not so much because he had been a Jedi, but because he had surrendered a family fortune that would have guaranteed him a place among the galaxy's most powerful and influential beings. During that first meeting, however, they had spoken not of wealth, but of politics, and the escalating tensions that had been stirred by trade inequities and inter-system conflicts. Tarkin agreed with Dooku that the Republic was in danger of imploding, but he held that a supervising government, even if ineffectual, was preferable to anarchy and a fractured galaxy. For some 8 years following his leave-taking from the Jedi Order, Dooku was scarcely heard from. Amid rumours about his fomenting political turmoil on a host of worlds, most people were convinced that he had gone into self-exile, intent on founding an offshoot of the Jedi Order. Instead, he had staged a theatrical return to public life by commandeering a holonet station in the Raxus system and delivering a rousing speech that condemned the Republic and essentially set the stage for the Separatist movement. Moving about in secrecy, some said one step ahead of assassins hired by Republic interests, Dooku became the focus of galactic attention, backing coups on Ryloth, meddling in the affairs of Kashyyyk, Sullust, Onderon, and many other worlds, and spurning all opportunities to negotiate with Supreme Chancellor Palpatine. Chiefly because of its location at the confluence of the Hydean Way and the Rimmer trade route, Iriadu became something of a contested world early on, and as adjacent and neighbouring sectors seceded or joined the Separatists, Tarkin found himself pressured by both sides to declare his loyalties. Dooku went out of his way to meet with Tarkin on several occasions, as if to demonstrate that he had taken a personal interest in Iriadu's future. In fact, having already laid the groundwork for the creation of a southern separatist sphere by bringing Yagdul and Sluis Vaan over to his side, he needed Iriadu to seal the deal. If Dooku could achieve in the Greater Sesuena what he had achieved elsewhere, he could, effectively, collapse the core back into itself, reversing the expansion that had resulted from millennia of space exploration, conquest, and colonization. At each meeting, Dooku had emphasized that for most of its history, Iriadu had either been ignored by or been at the economic mercy of the core. Having forged its own destiny, it owed no allegiance to Coruscant. But on the occasion of their final meeting, threat replaced persuasion. Recent turmoil at Ando and Ancyon had left the galaxy staggered, and Dooku seemed caught up in the feverish rush of events. Still, he had arrived on Iriadu in his usual caped finery, elegant and urbane. At Tarkin's residence, overlooking the bay and the glittering lights of the distant shore, they dined on foods prepared by Tarkin family chefs and rare wines provided by the grey-bearded Count. Even so, Dooku was restless throughout, ultimately dropping his guise to storm from the long table to the balcony railing, where he whirled on Tarkin.
"I need an answer, Governor,"
he began.
"This is a pleasant evening, and I have always enjoyed your company. But circumstances demand that we conclude the matter of Iriadu's commitment."
Tarkin set his napkin and wine glass down and joined him at the balcony. "What has happened to bring this to a head?"
"An imminent crisis,"
Dooku allowed.
"I can't say more."
"But I can. I suspect that you are now close to persuading your secret allies to initiate an economic catastrophe." Dooku's response was limited to a faint smile, so Tarkin continued. "Iriadu's friendships are wide-ranging. Nothing happens in this or any other sector without our knowledge."
"Which is precisely why your world is so important to our cause,"
Dooku said.
"But sometimes, economic pressures are not enough to guarantee success, as you well know, Governor. Or do you believe you could simply..."